Hello, this is Reverend Judith Laxer. Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Gaia's Temple service entitled Our Great Mother. My wish is that the food for thought offered brings great nourishment for your soul. We are the lucky recipient of a matching fund for up to $6,000 in 2019. If you've ever donated before, if you've never donated before, know that your donation now will have double the impact. The Gaia's Temple ministry is sustained by those who partake of its teachings. If you feel served by this offering, please push the donate button now and give generously, and notate your donation with the words matching fund. We'd be most grateful. Thank you, and blessed be. So each month when I turn my attention toward writing the service, I always pull up the last year's service from the same month just to read it and review it, you know, kind of see where we've been. And last year I called the Mother's Day service, The Future is Female. And it was pretty dang good. Actually, you know, if I must say so myself. And that's kind of funny because every time I finish writing a service, I just like do a number on myself. It's like, oh, this isn't very good. Oh, they've heard all this before. You know, I don't know why we do that. Why do we do that? I do that. And then, you know, in a year's worth of time, I read it back. I'm like, wow, you know, time and perspective. Anyway, so one of the things that I was talking about is how a future that is female is an egalitarian one, and that the way we're going to get there is by getting more and more women in leadership roles in all factions of our society. And I know that we still have miles to go before we attain those goals, but we can see progress, and it's good to affirm that progress. I mean, look at how many women were voted in the midterm elections last November as just one example. Of course, I'd like to wave my magic wand and have us all be in an egalitarian culture already. I am impatient for this beautiful vision I hold for the world to manifest. But unfortunately, we all saw Harry Potter break and then throw the Elder Wand into over the cliff. And so we'll have to slog through in Muggle time to make this great transformation. We'll have to struggle like Muggles. We'll do the Muggle struggle. All hands on deck. Anyway, if you did miss that service or forgot the content, you can always go back to the podcast archives on our website and listen to it. Anyway, so lovely to celebrate Mother's Day with all of you today. Such an important day because mothers are amazing. Becoming a mother is performing a miracle. Being a mother is quite a feat, and mothering is crucial to all our well-being. I believe that all women are mothers, regardless of whether they have had biological children or not, because I believe that all women, in one way or another, mother, like as a verb. And what better place than Gaia's Temple, a house of worship for the divine feminine, to celebrate Mother's Day? And what better time of the year than just after Beltane, the Sabbath on the wheel of the year, when we celebrate sensuality and fertility and love to celebrate Mother's Day? And who better than us who embrace our sensuality as a holy thing, who believe that all acts of love and pleasure are her ritual? That's a musical cue if I ever heard one. Thank you. Shauna Carroll and that gorgeous music she wrote. Last month, I was invited to speak on behalf of the Great Mother about climate change at a climate change rally put on by 350 Everett. And I was not only honored and excited to be invited, but I thought it would be easy. You know, I'd just slip on her mantle like a sheath dress, open my mouth, and out would come words of wisdom, words that would assure and inspire. But then when I began to prepare for the event, like actually prepare for it, and I approached the subject more thoughtfully, I found that I was a little reluctant to go there to speak for the planet. First, because it might be a bit presumptuous for one human being to speak for the entire planet, particularly when interaction with humans is the problem to begin with. And secondly, because there is no pretty picture that I could possibly paint about the crisis that we are facing. So I did what I always do when I go to work through a conundrum. I went to the garden. And it's not the same as being in the wilderness, I know, but I still encounter all of the elements there. Earth and air, fire and water, in the soil and the sun and the rain. And this connects me deeply to what it means to be human on this planet we call home. Now, as a pagan priestess, my earth-based spiritual path, just as I'm sure many of yours here in this room, leads me in the understanding that planet Earth, whom the ancient Greeks called Gaia, is alive and sentient and aware of everything that's happening on her body. That is to say that she's conscious and is not just dense matter for us to plunder and rape and steal from to satisfy our short-sighted desires, our terrible greed, and our misguided pleasures that we believe are necessary in our disconnected from nature world. That she is as alive as our human mother was alive when she gave birth to us, and that the earth is her body, and the air is her breath, and the fire is her energy, and the water is her blood. So I went to the garden, and I sat on the damp earth close to a garden bed, and I dug my hands into the soil. I breathed deeply, and I asked her, the big her, the earth herself, to tell me what she wanted me to know, to tell me what she wanted me to say. And of course, she didn't speak to me in words, but rather in feelings. And the next thing I knew, I was sobbing. Now, what I find so interesting about this is that although my tears were expressing a very deep sorrow, a very deep sadness, they were also an expression of her very deep love. And I was reminded of the complex emotions of all mothers, and that a mother's love is unconditional. Yes, even your mother, the one who infuriates you, the one who threw you out of the house, or the one who doesn't accept you for your true nature, who doesn't get you or won't speak to you because of some transgression along the way, her behavior is not always loving, but her love is true. She may not have anything to do with you for years, or maybe she even abandoned you completely. But still, in her heart, as she knows how, she loves you. She may not even believe that she loves you, but she does. She still loves you, because mother love is unconditional. It's inherent. Behavior, not so much, but love is there. And so it is with earth love. Despite what we do and have done, despite how we take advantage of her, use her up, think of her as merely a resource, toss our garbage all over her, poison her waters and soil with plastics and herbicides and pesticides, kill her animal children for sport, and our brothers and sisters in war, she still loves us. She loves us so that no matter what, she still provides us with food and clothing and shelter and beauty and diversity, the diversity that is necessary for life to continue, the diversity that connects us across phylum and genus, across plant and animal kingdoms, and she will provide these things until she can do so no longer. Her sadness seemed to me to be less about the pain she feels, although I can only imagine how immense that must be, and more about the pain that we are feeling. Such is that unconditional love. Her sadness seemed to me to be a great recognition of the deep healing that we all need. Mother's gift. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. So as I sat there in the garden with my hands deep within her body, Earth's sorrow that we have forgotten how to care for her and therefore how to care for ourselves engulfed me, that we have strayed so far from our understanding of the connectedness of all life that we, despite our intelligence, have gotten lost. We are like that child at the fairgrounds who got distracted by the next bright, shiny thing, let go of our mother's hand, and looked up to find that we were lost. And then surrounded by a crowd of strangers, we began to emulate what they were doing, participating in group consciousness, trying to recapture that primal sense of belonging that once held us like our mother's loving hand. And now our mother is in a panic, wondering where we went and why we let go. In the 1970s, British independent scientist, environmentalist, and futurist James Lovelock wrote the Gaia Hypothesis, which posits that the Earth is alive, that she's as alive as all living beings are alive, because life is defined as matter that shows certain attributes that include responsiveness, growth, metabolism, energy, transformation, and reproduction. All of which the Earth does. She is a self-regulating, complex system involving the biosphere, the atmosphere, the hydrosphere, and the pedosphere, tightly coupled as an evolving system. And that this system as a whole seeks a physical and chemical environment optimal for contemporary life. That this system seeks anything at all, that Lovelock spoke of the Earth as a seeking being, one with feelings and desires, was new thought in his field at the time. Of course, indigenous cultures have known this since time immemorial, but in modern scientific field, not so much. And so this idea threw open the window to a whole new way of considering our relationship to the planet. And in truth, his hypothesis is still ridiculed by some muggles. I mean in certain circles. In the Gaia Hypothesis, Lovelock cited how the atmosphere is like her skin, regulating and stabilizing her temperatures. He posited that the cetaceans, the whales and their kin, are her intelligence. And so as we kill them off, we are essentially giving ourselves a lobotomy. Most interestingly, that we humans are her brains and her nervous system, which makes me very nervous. Our nervous system contains two main parts, the central nervous system, which is the brain and the spinal cord, and the peripheral nervous system, consisting mainly of the nerves that connect the brain to the whole rest of the body. And why this interconnectedness, what this interconnectedness means is that consciousness and our nervous systems are essentially one and the same thing. We are aware when we feel pain or pleasure or hunger or fatigue. We're like walking nerves, our endings feeling everything from joy and wonder to frustration and sadness. As time goes on and things get more dire here on our planet Earth, our stress levels are rising and our nerves are beginning to fray. But our consciousness has the capacity for more than just self-awareness. It can expand to include other living beings. It has the capacity for compassion for the suffering of others as well. It possesses the need to heal. It holds the desire for wholeness. This is the part of our consciousness that we must actively develop. We must remember that we are deeply connected to the Earth and to one another, that we are not the separate entities we believe that we are, impervious to outside influences or the consequences of our actions. You know, I've heard people say that the ravages of climate change, the tsunamis and earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and fires and cyclones, are nature's wrath. That she is in revolt against our treatment of her, retaliating by giving us bad weather and putting us in danger, that this is how a woman scorned reacts, ragefully and vindictively and with a vengeance. But sitting there in the garden, that is not at all what I got. I got that her body is failing due to our mistreatment, and climate change is simply the manifestation of her illness. The illness that we are causing. Now, we've all been sick and felt the violence of the symptoms. Do we say our bodies hate us when we don't feel well? That it's angry and therefore it's punishing us? Or in beautiful holistic ways, do we mitigate the symptoms for as much comfort as we can find in the moment and then look deeper to find and try to solve for the imbalance that is the cause to begin with? Hopefully we do the latter. And hopefully we are working to enact those beautiful holistic ways for Mother Earth now, because our compassion for our great mother has developed such that we feel that strong imperative. The way Earth is behaving now is due to a great imbalance. What we are seeing in her climate change is her body responding to the causes of the illness and her attempt to bring herself back into balance. If we returned to treating Mother Earth as our own beloved mother, not just calling her Mother Earth in a mindless and habitual way, but caring for her as if she was our own mother, because she is, our interactions with her would change considerably. If we remember that the earth is her body, the air is her breath, the fire is her energy, and the water is her blood, we would stop poisoning them because we know we would be poisoning her. We would stop fracking her body for fossil fuels because we would know that it's breaking her bones to get to the diminishing marrow, and our actions will only cause her body to quake. Let's hear it for those countries that are banning fracking. We will not do it here. We would stop belching toxins into the air and leaving chemtrails in the sky because we'd recognize that we are damaging her lungs. And more than all that, we would stop using those chemicals. We'd stop using fossil fuels. We'd stop creating so much garbage. So take a moment now, close your eyes and go within, if you would. Reestablish your connection with your grounding cord deep in the earth that we sent down at the beginning of the service. And if you came in after we did that, go ahead and ground yourself now. And then bring your attention up to your third eye in the center of your forehead. Open it up, looking out through it into your imagination. And think of your mother. Or if thinking of your mother is not a loving thought, think of a woman that you love, a woman that you care for, and see her clearly before you. Picture her and see her. See her face and her form. And feel your love for her for just a moment. It's Mother's Day. And your heart fills with love for this woman who in one way or another is a mother in this world. So take a moment to think of the ways that she mothers, whether that's for her biological children or adopted or foster children or her pets or her family or friends or you. How does her maternal care play out in her actions? And now as you still look at her, ask yourself, would I knowingly poison her blood, beat up her body, damage her lungs, steal her vitality, knowingly contribute to the rising of her temperature beyond what she can bear? Of course not. You'd do the opposite. You'd make sure she drinks clean water, breathes clean air. You'd feed her well so she stays vital. You'd stop creating any environment in which she would not thrive and work to create one in which she does. And so now think of a way, just one way, one action you could start taking here and now and from here on out, something you could continue to do into the future, one way that you will create a better environment for this woman whom you love. And then in your mind and in your heart, promise her that you will do so. make your promise to her. And then breathe deeply once more. Let that image fade and gently bring yourself back here to this sanctuary. Gently open your eyes when you come back. So while there are scientific facts and figures and statistics explaining the dire situation we are in, and while we remain confounded that nothing more is being done from the top down to remedy this situation as best as we can, as soon as we can, I believe it is in remembering that the earth is our mother that will be our greatest motivation. Remembering that the earth is our mother will keep us charged up to keep working on her behalf and keep us making the necessary changes that we must. Because what lies beneath it all, in all relationships between mother and child, regardless of who that woman is who you perceive to be your mother, what lies beneath the relationship between mother and child, just as what lies between us and our glorious earth, is love. Love. Love is the glue that holds it all together. Love is the great motivator. So often our activism is fueled by our anger at injustice, and recognizing injustice is crucial, and anger channeled into right action is an appropriate tool to use. But sitting there in the garden, she told me to tell you that loving her, finding our love, our deep and unconditional love for our Mother Earth, is the way to go. To let love motivate us, to let love be the medicine that remedies the situation, that energizes us and sustains us for the journey ahead. Because you know what, my friends? We have a journey ahead. Let's make that journey with love as best we can. Through our shared tears, Mother Earth reminded me of her love. And in her mysterious way, she told me that if we remember our love for her, our way forward will be easier. And I believe her. I believe our great mother. So now it's time for our Mother's Day tradition that we do every year, which is of honoring the women with a beautiful red rose, a symbol of our love and the love from Gaia's temple that offers to all women who attend our worship service. And gentlemen, we hope you come back in June and you will receive your rose then for Father's Day. It'll be an early Father's Day. It'll be the week before Father's Day, but please come back. We've got beautiful roses for you too. But today, it's all about the ladies. And so in a moment, we're going to start Shauna Carroll's song, Every Woman, which a lot of you know by now. And for the rest of you, the words are written on your program. The choir is going to sing it. And then I'm going to ask all the women to come up and get a rose, but I'm going to ask you to go to the back of the sanctuary and come down the center first and then back to your seats. And one thing I'll say is it looks as if they've taken the thorns off, but, you know, just take it gingerly. Be careful. Don't grab on like that, just in case. And just know that when you receive that rose, it's with so much love. All right, let's do it. Let's sing Every Woman.
Flower, and she offers the sweetest nectar.
There's has thorns, be careful. Here you go, you're right up here. You're right up here. Come and take it. Happy Mother's Day.
And her sweet love is all thirsty.
Come on up.
You don't have to steal it. You don't have to own it.
You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it. Happy Mother's Day.
It's a gift.
Happy Mother's Day.
Freely given. All you gotta do.
Happy Mother's Day.
Just on.
Happy Mother's Day.
Every
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Watch the thorns. You're welcome. Watch the thorns. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
You don't have to steal it.
Happy Mother's Day.
You don't have to own it.
Happy Mother's Day.
You don't have to take it.
Happy Mother's Day.
You don't have to buy it.
Happy Mother's Day. It's a gift. Happy Mother's Day. All you gotta do is honor it. Happy Mother's Day. Everyone. Happy Mother's Day. Embodied. Happy Mother's Day. A sacred vessel of divine love. Mother's Day.
You don't have to
Happy
take
Mother's
it.
Day.
You don't have to buy it.
Mother's Day. It's a gift freely given. All you've got to do is honor it. Happy Mother's Day.
Just honor
Happy Mother's Day.
Every woman.
Happy Mother's Day.
Is a flower.
Happy Mother's Day.
And she offers.
A happy Mother's Day. A happy Mother's Day. And she's a river. And her love. And all this.
You don't have to steal it.
You don't have to pawn it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy it. Able to please stand for a very special Mother's Day blessing. To all women everywhere, and to you in this holy temple, bless you for your mothering. Whether you have biological children or not, you mother. You care for, nurture, and help those you love, and even some you don't. Like a mother does. Today, we acknowledge your beautiful mothering. And we offer our vote of confidence in your ability to do so because it means so much. You are so important. Know your worth, women. Remember your power. You are the sacred mothers of the future, not only because of the children you may have, but because the power you possess to restore the world to balance is as powerful as the great Mother Earth herself. May she bless you with health and strength and resilience, and perhaps most of all, inspiring love to keep on keeping on. Happy Mother's Day, women, and blessed be.
Blessed be.
Thank you.